You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's get into the list. CBS Sports. All right, Cobb, you mentioned it with Eric that Sam Quinn over at CBS Sports has his offseason grades for the Western Conference. The Rockets get an A+. I think that there's no question they're clearly the headliner of the offseason, particularly in the West. I was thinking about this, though. Is it possible that to be a better playoff team, they might have sacrificed some regular season? Because do we really think Durant's going to play, like, how many games?
You know, at this point, I don't really feel like it matters. Like, whatever, you get 52 games out of him, let's say. Just get to the playoffs, you know? Like, that's what it's all about. I mean, the seeding has never been more irrelevant in the NBA.
Harrington was also making this point. Do they have a lead guard? I mean, they make it Fred VanVleet, but Fred VanVleet kind of feels like, oh, he's a point guard because he's 5'10". But he's not a lead guard.
You think of a lead guard being like your primary offensive creator.
Right. And this is a problem that we saw with the Suns. It's where last season when Tyus wound up without a home and then he winds up with the Suns on a cheap deal, you kind of thought, like, oh, that's a good fit, but it didn't really work out. And then it felt like one of the problems the Suns had was they didn't have an offense initiator.
Well, what is Amen Thompson over the long run? I mean, he's a young player, man. He's got a lot of runway left in his development. Like, he could kind of become that. Because Fred VanVleet, my man, is pushing in, 37, 38 probably. So he ain't going to be around forever.
I mean, wasn't he on the Baker Wichita State team?
Yeah. He's been
Fred's
around.
Only 31.
Oh, goodness. Are you serious?
I thought he was
older than
that,
too.
He's
already in his eighth year, though. He's been in the league for a minute.
The other one, John Collins, is only like 28.
Yeah.
But it feels like John Collins is like 38.
Here I am calling Fred VanVleet an old man. He's younger than me. Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking at Houston again, and you're right. I don't think they have an actual, like, pure one. I mean, what is Aaron Holiday? Same kind of question at this point. I think he lands in the same boat as a Fred VanVleet. Reed Shepard gave us nothing last year.
Reed Shepard.
But he didn't, like...
That's the thing, like...
No, I'm playing. He's not there yet.
No, like, he's not there yet.
On a team that also needed shooting, he still couldn't crack the lineup. Now, I do also think Reed might be in the bad spot because I feel like if you don't play defense, Ime's never a player.
Well, they've cleared the deck a little bit for him, though. I think he's going to have a bigger role this next year. I mean, the man can shoot. And he's active defensively. He's just too small to really be a versatile defender in the NBA.
I think the Nuggets deserve a better grade than an A-.
I think so, too. I mean, I would have given the Rockets an A-, and the Nuggets an A+.
They got off of a contract I never thought was possible.
Yeah. I mean, they got a better player at Michael Porter Jr.'s position.
And they got rid of Michael Porter Jr.'s contract.
Exactly, yeah. And I thought they drafted really well as well.
Drafted well, and then, you know, you bring Bruce Brown back, and, like, I don't know. I think that...
Oh, and they added Jonas Valanciunas.
Yes. I was reading over the weekend, like, is Jonas threatening to stay in Europe?
Huh?
No, I think there were some questions about his contract before getting traded. So some European teams were asking around and trying to get in on.
Because I saw a Shams tweet that's like, the Denver Nuggets expect Jonas to honor his contract. It's like, is he snooping around in Europe? Like, I didn't know. And then I was like, well,
maybe... It was a European team that was asking around. I don't remember if it was like one of the Greek teams or something like that. One of the bigger teams, though. Yeah, I think Denver did an awesome job. And I mean, some of their young guys are going to step into a little bit of a bigger role. I like Julian Strother. I saw him more than a couple times in person. Plays really well. And I don't. How did they get plus value out of Michael Porter Jr.?
I don't know. Did y'all see this? I guess Michael today spoke about Brooklyn. I'm really excited for this next chapter in Brooklyn. Over there in Denver, I feel like my ceiling had plateaued.
Okay.
Tell your story.
I mean, that would be a tell your story. We got a better one.
Oh.
For later today. I don't know. I just, the fact that you were able to get off that contract to me. So Sam writes, Valanciunas may want to return to Europe. For now, they do not appear inclined to let him do so. But even if they need to, that trade comes with meaningful benefits. It got them off Dario Saric, who was practically dead money, and the knowledge that Valanciunas may want to leave could make him a valuable trade chip. So they wanted to use his $10 million salary to match money in a trade. I mean, it's kind of it's part of the reason why I think the Grizzlies also gave Santi his money. It's like, in the end, it could be a trade chip if it's not.
Yeah, look, I got to go hand up here. I was just, I noted that I thought the Nuggets had a good draft. They actually didn't participate in the draft. So
last year they had a good draft. That's what we're going
But nonetheless, their offseason to me was striking because you got a franchise that felt like
just for getting off that contract.
Well, and also it just feels like they positioned themselves to capitalize on Nikola Jokic's competitive window again, right? Because I mean, you got one of the
feel better than they were last year.
He's the best basketball player in the world right now.
Well, no, I mean, I was talking about this with Harrington earlier, and see if y'all agree. With the gift of hindsight, can we really say like the Nuggets were the second best team in the West, and maybe the second best team?
Yes.
Like, in the end, the Wolves got there because of the path, and like, hey, you don't knock them for getting there, but the Nuggets were much more competitive. I mean, I guess you could say they're the third best team because Indiana got blown out less than the Nuggets did.
You could say second in the West for sure, though. And I mean,
yeah.
At the same time, you have to play the cards you're dealt. Look at Minnesota. And then with Denver, they picked up those injuries at the worst possible time of the season. Literally the worst possible time.
I just feel like by just getting off that contract, they're able to actually build a little bit of depth.
So in 26, the Grizzlies have either... How does it work again with the first round pick that they're going to have?
So it's...
There Chris is more wrinkle said
it's,
to this.
Yeah, Chris said it's a little more complicated, but the way that everybody keeps doing it, it's the lesser of the Suns...
And the Wizards.
But by lesser, you mean the most favorable.
The best pick for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
However.
But there is, there's a.
Washington owes a first round pick to the Knicks, I believe, in the next 2 years. And if they convey next year's
pick. Oh, gosh, we're back on conveyance watch.
Yeah, convey or not. Yeah.
God, that was half my time on the Grizzlies beat.
That was quite the summer.
Was will they convey the pick? Yeah.
So if the Wizards give the Knicks next year's pick, which they can do, to cover themselves, then the Grizzlies will automatically get the Suns pick.
Okay, well, if you get the Suns pick, I feel pretty good because I think the Suns are going to be bad again. Also, they got a C- in these grades. So I'm elated to see that.
That roster stinks.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, there's a chance that could be obviously we'll see how the balls bounce, right? But like in all likelihood, that's going to be a really nice pick.
So they're going to buy out Bradley Beal, it seems like. And then the speculation is he's going to the Clippers.
Sure. I mean, and you're also going to have Dame Lillard coming onto the buyout market, too. I mean, that's, boy.
When will Dame be ready?
Well, I mean, that's a big question, right? You know, because
he got hurt in April, right?
I thought it was in the playoffs that he popped.
Right, it was.
In his first round.
Yeah,
I guess it would be.
They didn't make the second one.
You know, and the Indiana's already ruled Tyrese Halliburton out.
Yeah, for the year.
So, I mean, similar injury, right, for Dame. It happened a few weeks before. But,
see, I don't know what to do
with a much older player.
Like, yeah.
Achilles used to always just be a year, but now I feel like guys are coming back at like 9 or 10 months.
Yeah, burn hard longer.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, they're getting better at the surgery. Then we get the Thunder with a B, Spurs with a B, Grizzlies with a B-. I don't know, like... I've been pleasantly, happy with the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it just feels like there's a plan again. You know, it felt like we were just kind of running the course with the way things were, and now we've at least like established a direction. Will that direction lead to anything substantive? I don't know, but like at least there's like a clear path here, which is one, we're not sacrificing short-term competitiveness.
Yes.
We know we're not going to win the NBA championship next year, but we still aim to be a playoff team, right? So that's nice. That's reassuring. You're not tearing the whole thing down. And, oh yeah, by the way, we've amassed this nice collection of young talent that we think can maybe get us back into a championship sort of contention a few years down the line. And I like that. It's a dual track. Dual tracking doesn't always work, but like at least it's a plan.
I think this idea of, you know, the buzzword of the NBA, timeline, 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 I think under the CBA, you got to throw it out. I think you're just going to have to accept if you've got big money people, you're going to have some people that are 27 and then other people that are 22, 23. Like, you're going to have younger guys mixed with the vets, and you're going to have to figure out how to mix it out, because the only team that was able to avoid that really was Oklahoma City, because they hit on so many draft picks that they had excess money, so they could have so much depth that it didn't matter. But I also think they've gotten more athletic, and they can, like, in the end, I don't think the reason why they struggled late down the stretch was necessarily offense. I think the reason why they struggled is they couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah.
And I think they have a better chance to be a much better defensive team.
No. I mean, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like, probably an under-discussed addition, a part of that Bane trade. I think he's going to help them defensively. He can knock down three. Cedric Coward, I think he's going to be... I think Cedric Coward will be better than Jalen Wells defensively. And right now, everybody wants to say Jalen Wells is your best perimeter defender. That's kind of scary to me if that's the case. And I believe Cedric Coward, due to the physical tools, due to the athleticism, the length, I think he'll be a better defender than Jalen Wells.
Well, I also think... if Cedric hits, and I understand Cedric's only, what, 6'4"?
Oh, but his wingspan is...
Right,
is...
but what it also could allow you to do is you can move Jalen to the 2, where I think Jalen looks more like a 2.
Right.
And then therefore, okay, that could be... that gives you more flexibility. I don't know, like, I guess my whole deal right now is I would feel... pretty optimistic about next year if they had Jaren and Zach healthy. And honestly, more of it stems from Zach.
Well, that,
like,
I mean,
I think Jaren's going to come back and be fine, but Zach is like the, all right, it's a 7'4 guy. You've already done an ankle. Like, what are we doing here? Like, do I need to feel worried? That's kind of my apprehension.
Long, more of a long-term
yes.
thing. Yeah, I mean, not to mention, you know, can Jock Landale play 30 minutes a night for you for a couple months? Like, I don't know. They've never really done that before. But by the way, 6'5 1/4. That is Cedric, Cedric Coward barefoot.
Is that from Combine?
That is from the Combine, according to AI.
Do we have Jalen's Combine? I think what they list him at 6'7".
Right. And they'll probably list Cedric at 6'7" because he's gonna put on shoes, you know what I'm saying? All right, yeah. So Jalen Wells,
golfers or basketball players?
About the height. I mean, I lie. And
Rory's
5'10"
on paper. That's what he lists himself as. Sure, buddy. Me too.
Yeah.
I stood eye to eye with you. Like, you're not 5'10".
Jalen Wells, 6'7".
At the combine?
No. 6'6", but with a wingspan of only 6'7". Wow.
Yeah, I really do think they have the chance to, if Cedric could hit, he could play the 3.
Well, that's the problem. They didn't have a lot of length. You think about it now. I mean, Jalen Wells
didn't have length or speed.
Desmond Bane, nope. You know, dinosaur arms. Brandon Clark, dinosaur arms. Jalen Wells doesn't have much of a wingspan. Jaws, small.
Jaren's the only one with length.
Luke Kennard can't play, you know, whatever.
Not
defense,
on the team.
I mean, he can play offense, right? But, I mean, yeah.
If they pass it to him.
Sure. I mean, you just go through the list. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So you're getting longer. You're getting more athletic. Those things are huge.
Except in the backcourt. We're getting smaller.
Well, I mean, Ty Jerome's not small.
Yeah, I guess it's true. But, like, Cam's not big. Scotty's not big. Ja's not big. But, yeah, you're right. No, Jerome, I mean, I think the Jerome pickup, especially at the price, like, I just, the way that I'm looking at the team is, I think it makes more sense than this year's team did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. Jazz, C+, but they're in the who cares. T-Wolves, C, Suns, C-, Lakers, C-, Blazers, C-, Mavericks, D+. I mean, don't you have to be higher just because they got credit for the lottery?
Honestly, I mean, I thought it was kind of wild.
Like, to me, you can give Nico a D+.
Right.
Because Nico's been trying to say, like, my vision. You won the lottery. What vision?
Well, I thought it was odd because ESPN did draft grades after the draft, around the same time we did. After we did ours, I went and looked at theirs just to see, like, compare sort of where they had, how they had evaluated these franchises versus how we did. And ESPN gave Dallas like a C minus or something for the draft. I'm like, bro, you got Cooper Flagg. Like, I understand the process to get there wasn't clean, but like, you emerged from the 2025 NBA draft with somebody who a lot of people think will be a 10-time All-Star.
Just because it was an easy test, like, they didn't screw it up.
Right, you passed it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I was fine with that. So those are the grades. Any other thoughts y'all have? Ready to move on?
No, just confirming, though, Jalen Wells' wingspan at the combine, 6'7.25" last year. So, yeah, not a super long player.
Yep. And said was 6'9"?
7'2".
Jeez.
Yep.
Holy cow. Amazon basketball. All right, boys. I've got great news. According to Front Office Sports, let's see, did Ryan write this? No, Michael McCarthy. Front Office Sports. Amazon will soon announce the hiring of Del Curry for the first season of the NBA on Prime. Meanwhile, The Athletic's Richard Deitch reports that the streamer has officially hired play-by-play voice Kevin Harlan and is adding former NBA player Brent Barry as a game analyst. Couple of things to watch. It is wildly speculated they are hiring Del Curry to recruit Steph once he retires.
Right.
And also, Amazon... Many are believing that, I don't know if y'all been keeping up, LeBron's doing a lot of ads for Amazon, that they're trying to get in the LeBron business. I think that could be, like, granted, their package right now is small, but, like, this is the, like, they're clearly testing it. I know that's phrasing. But that, I do think, like, Amazon could wind up being, like, the premier NBA broadcaster.
Well, you got to test those small packages before you buy them.
100%.
Yep. No, I mean, no question. Hey, look, if the next Shaq, Kenny and Chuck is some version of Steph and LeBron, I mean, wow. Like, that's all right. Like, that's big time, you know? But by gosh, how much are you going to have to pay those guys, you know?
Well, if anyone's got the money. I mean, that's like, in the end, it's like, why? I think a lot of the reason why a lot of these crews are underwhelming is, A, these guys now are so phenomenally rich, they don't have to have the gig. Right. I mean, when Booker gets done playing, and Booker's a very good player, but it's not like a generational player, Booker's going to have like $600 million.
That extension is crazy. But it's all across sports, not just in basketball. I mean, you look at Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is the last man on this planet who needs money. And yet he's...
I always wonder, A, I never know how expensive divorce is, even though his wife made more money than he did. But I also think there comes a point, and it's why you see a lot of athletes go broke, when you're used to that lifestyle, private jet everywhere, whatnot. It's like, you got to keep making money.
Yeah,
because that, like that's part of it. But also, Brady seems to be in a little different arena in which he doesn't seem to care that he's breaking every rule.
That's maddening, the fact that he is active participant in a front office while calling games and getting the inside scoop, sitting down with the head coaches, you know.
Well, he doesn't get to go to the production meetings. The only time he got to go to the production meeting was the Super Bowl. And yeah. I was wondering, though, if that was the trial balloon to see, like, all right, let him sit in the production meeting here. Because I do think a big reason why he struggles, if you don't go to those production meetings, like, you get a lot of stuff there.
You do. I mean, absolutely.
Like, it's a huge part of it.
You actually learn a lot from listening to the analyst, because the analyst has typically sat down with the head coach, who has revealed information to them that he has not revealed to the normal press conference, the press gaggle, throughout the week. I mean, that it's a really good information that you typically get from an analyst, and the fact that Fox's lead analyst doesn't participate in that is a problem, but it would also be a problem if he did, because he is
Fox's number two analyst got the Emmy.
Right. Yeah, right. Kind of embarrassing.
I mean, he wasn't even nominated.
Well, I guess I'll accept this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I mean, Eli kind of said, he did the move of, well, there would be some conflicts of interest if I bought into the Giants. But really, the reason why Eli didn't buy into the Giants is the price tag.
Yeah, buying an NFL team is not cheap.
Like, he wanted to buy, like, I think he wanted to buy 10%, maybe. It was, like, up to 10%. But with the, you know, the valuation of the Giants would be, well, if the Lakers are going for $10 billion, the Giants would be valued well over that.
Yeah.
Like, that is hilarious. What? The Jones family will never sell it, but I would love to know what the Cowboys would go for. I mean, but there comes a certain point where it's like, who can actually afford to buy it?
Right.
Like, I don't know. But to me, I'm fired up. I'm a big Harlan guy. I was glad to see Harlan is getting picked up. But it still feels like he's going to be like number two or number three, right? Because they're, I think Ian Eagle is going to be their number one.
Did Ian Eagle go to, he went to Ian Amazon?
Ian went to Amazon. Noah's at NBC Peacock.
With Tirico.
Correct. So Noah will be the number one guy until football season ends. And then Tirico picks back up as their number one guy at NBC. Yeah. But I mean, I don't even, does Amazon, I think maybe every other year they get a conference finals. But they're clearly experimenting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll decide if they want to go in heavily. Let's go with Brent Rooker. Yeah, we mentioned this at the top of the show. Brent Rooker, of course, of ECS, also Germantown Giants fame. The Athletic Slugger is adding his name to the list of Home Run Derby participants. Rooker announced Thursday that he's participating in the event, which takes place Monday in Atlanta. He will become the first Athletics player in the Home Run Derby since Matt Olson in 2021. Also, Matt Olson had his dad pitch to him, and his dad was like putting a pitch sequence on him. Like, he was working both sides of the plate, throwing a real hard slider. Like, yep, that was like, I still can't let, even though I'm here for the Home Run Derby, I can't let him get one in on me.
Cal Raleigh is also having his father pitch to him, and his father is Todd Raleigh. He of former Tennessee baseball, Todd Raleigh.
So Todd was NC State.
He was at Western Carolina, then got hired at Tennessee, was terrible at Tennessee. Don't know what he did after that.
Yeah, because he was right after Delmonico.
Correct. It went Delmonico, Raleigh, Serrano, Vitello. Yep.
Yeah, because for a while, Tennessee just couldn't get the job right.
Oh, man. They didn't make the SEC tournament for like 12 years.
Well, I mean, when they hired Dave Serrano, like, everyone thought, like, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah. He had been to two College World Series out west. Didn't work out.
I think he was Irvine. He might have been both.
Yeah, no, he did Irvine and Fullerton.
Yeah.
He did. He took them both.
Because I think he was at Irvine when I was at Pepperdine. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, we played them midweeks. I forgot. I did not know that is Raleigh's son.
Yeah.
Are we in agreement the Big Dumper is taking over baseball?
Yes. Love him.
Yeah.
But I mean, literally the nickname is also taking over baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild too that this guy's a catcher and has this power. You know, when's the last, I mean, Mike Piazza is like the last example I can think of like a true, like, upper crust elite home run hitter.
Salvador Perez. Who is the kid?
Well, but who was the guy?
Yeah.
Who was the guy for the Yankees that couldn't catch, but they played him at catcher? He was awful. Like, he was, like, watching him try to frame a baseball was quite the exercise. This is like 2015-ish.
Oh, so that's pre, I'm thinking the more recent was Higashioka was a defender. But he could rake a little bit. They've Ben Rice doing it a little bit now, which is crazy for them.
2015, where was the lineup? This is so sad. Like, I used to be able to, like, know everyone.
Well, if you go like 1999 to 2005,
Gary
Yankees,
Sanchez is also
oh,
good
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He could not catch, but he could hit.
Oh, he can.
But this is a different level. He's leading the league in home runs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess to a certain degree, like, part of the reason you pay him is you can move him to DH for off nights.
He doesn't really take many off nights.
But that's the thing.
The
is like
thing
he's,
for him. He's like an everyday catcher.
But, I mean, like, I guess that's also the other thing. It doesn't make sense to me that with everything else going down in baseball, number of pitches, how long you throw, whatnot, it used to be like the best catcher would only catch like 130 games a year. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, all right, man, that's what we're paying you for. And I know they don't wear knee savers anymore.
That's brutal.
Now,
the stance, the style of catching is a lot different.
That drives me insane.
The one
get
knee.
With a runner on base, get on your haunches. Like, I'm more okay with it in Major League Baseball because they have such unbelievable command. I cannot stand watching these college catchers with runners on base going down to a knee. It drives me insane.
So
how are you going to get to a throwing position?
I was going to say, and with Major League arms, it's a lot different,
yes,
too. Like,
correct.
They can just hose you down.
Cal Raleigh has 36 home runs. The next catcher is Logan Ohapi from the Angels, who has 17. I mean,
sure.
He's more than doubled up the next catcher.
The AL West is just dominating hard-hitting catchers. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Smith joins the program next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. From 11 until 2, you can follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, have you had a look at the new floor at FedEx Forum for the Tigers?
Yeah, I have. John, I think it broke during our show, and I went ahead and took a look after John had brought it up, and I don't think you can go wrong with simple and look like, you know, back to basics, which is sort of the look there. Just nice and clean has been the reaction. I think it's my reaction. I'm not a court guy. I'm like you. I don't want anything phallic or
I don't want to notice it. You know what I mean? Like, I want it. Like, I don't want it to be a distraction. Busy, yeah. Right?
I don't want anything. I want to be able to see the 3-point line.
Yes, that's a big one. Yes,
you know, I want to be able to see that and see if that shot's it was behind the line or not. In fact, I think they're using the white line on that, and I had to take a little make sure that I could see the white line on this clean over court. But it looks great. You know, as important as that is to some folks, I just it's not high on my list. But I thought I'm fine with clean and sort of a retro sort of look back, and it's obviously with the emblem there. You can't get any bigger and it look any better than that right there in the middle. So I'm fine with it.
So I just realized this. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but UNLV is on the schedule and coming to the Forum, right?
Yeah, that's why we also think John. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Cal agreed to the exhibition game. He can't let Josh have his welcome back first.
How wild is this? I mean, are y'all talking about this? I'm sure you have, but like maybe I've just been like off my own world. But like the fact that Pastner and Cal are both coming back here in a relatively short manner of time, like that is to me a very fascinating subplot to this upcoming Memphis basketball season.
So what was really cool was to watch the two of them at the EYBL and how the approach was different. Josh, as the both former Memphis coaches, but Josh is the new UNLV coach now, got more to do. I mean, you know, he's hitting the ground running, you know, Cal being in his second year, but Josh was in and out. And he had told us as much that he had some mental. But whereas Cal, much like Penny, was sort of holding court, Cobb, right there at the front of the Memphis Sports and Events Center, you know, you had the live period. So you had every coach in the country here. And for the first time, probably, I don't know, certainly here in Memphis, I mean, I'm sure there have been functions, you know, not public where people could be at them where maybe these guys have been together. But for the first time all here, you had them all. And so the approach was different. And you've probably seen Cobb by now. I'm sure you have. Like Penny had Cal come upstairs.
Right.
So that he could work on the podcast. But the point was you had both former Memphis coaches and Penny right there at the front of it. And maybe in a way, I mean, Cal was going to do whatever he wanted to do. But in the way that Penny did it, right, set up there at the front of the – almost inviting Cal to say, hey, this is, you know, this is yours too. And I think he made him comfortable. And so they were both right there at the front for long stretches. You know, any Memphis fan that wanted to come up and talk to him, they were holding court. And whereas Josh was kind of in out, it is crazy how it's kind of all come together. Weirdly, so Josh Pastner, this guy who would, you know, never drink a carbonated drink, is now coaching UNLV, you know, and it's in Sin City and you know, in Las Vegas. And yes, it just so lines up where he's coming back to Memphis for this one. And you'll have Cal same year, hopefully, as part of the St. Jude Classic. And, you know, it was so key. And he said it to Penny. He said it on that podcast. He said, you got to do it my way. You know, I got to have all my guys. I'll do it if I got all my guys and it's for St. Jude. And, you know, Penny is going to go out of his way to make sure they get this done. Because here's the thing, Cobb, if this pops off in the way that it really didn't feel like it did last year with North Carolina as the opponent, now you got Cal, you got all the storylines. It's really the first time they'll have a team back here and going against Memphis. If it pops off, well, that's what St. Jude wants. They wanted to turn this thing into a, you know, their hope is that they could really sell it, you know, sell tickets, turn this thing into a regular season event, which I'm sure on a year-to-year basis you would expect to include Memphis. There's a real chance that there's, you know, there's some fruit if this thing can be the success you want it to be in this second year, some fruit for Memphis, some fruit for the city where, you know, you turn this thing into a regular season event, you keep Memphis involved, maybe you're drawing Cal back, you know, later on as part of a regular season deal. So, yeah, man, it's really cool to have them both coming back. One, you know, it's going to count against Josh, and then one that won't. But as I've said, Cobb, you look at that schedule, Baylor's up there. You know, yeah, now that Penny's added them, Vanderbilt will bring a decent crowd. But that exhibition game against Arkansas is probably going to be the most attended home game on the Tigers' schedule this year. It'll just be an exhibition game.
How many guys do they have to get for Cal to go, that's enough? Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, is every single guy going to want to come back? Like, I would hope so, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen, you're going to do what the university had intended before, you know, Dr. Rudd and some folks over there decided to cancel. Remember when Cal was going into the Naismith Hall of Fame?
When Jeff
wrote
the column.
Do the banquet for him. And you were going to, you know, and I realized, you know, folks kind of, you know, they weren't ready for it. And you know, rolling him out at halftime of a game, it rubbed some people the wrong way. However, there were plenty of the money folks that were, you know, that wanted this to happen. And what you, you know, sort of what you could have envisioned rather than rolling Cal. Hey, here's your old coach that left you high and dry for Kentucky, was having all his people, having all of his guys around him. That's the way that you would have made that night right in terms of what you would have done if it had been the Tulane game or whatever else. And, of course, you'd have had the plated dinner where you had all the money people. But there was a way to handle that. And back to the point, forget the second guessing of how it was handled. This seems to be sort of the way back. And it's really having Tone, having Supreme Bay, formerly CDR, having Dozier and Dorsey, having the chance to have all these guys back. I mean, however many of them you want to name, you can, hell, if you want to take, go back to Cal's, you know, before he had those teams and bring back the DeJuan Wagners. And then what I said was make it an Arkansas thing as well, where you've got, because you've got enough Memphis guys, you know, Memphis products who played at Arkansas during those years when it was a rivalry in the 90s, the Todd Days, the Arlen Bowers, who we've had, is a firefighter here, still in Memphis, came out of Southside, played for Nolan over at Arkansas. You had so many of them, the Corey Becks, the Dwight Stewarts. Have them all come out. Make it a reunion. Sell those tickets. So, again, it's something that's benefiting, you know, Memphis going forward. Obviously, first and foremost, St. Jude, but Memphis going forward and the fact that you can make this thing. So, Jeffrey, I don't know what the number is, but you better be sure Penny and his team will have reached out to just about everybody on both sides to make sure everybody's comfortable and make sure they sell as many tickets as possible. Because, again, the incentive for Penny is, man, if we can really make this thing pop, we can maybe hopefully turn this thing into a regular season event where we're drawing, you know, big brands. You know, Penny has shown he doesn't – you know, he's not having any issues scheduling. You get Scott Drew to come see you first year in a 4-year deal. You got Louisville on 6. 2 of them are out of town, but 2 of them are here. But if you could have that St. Jude Club with everything that St. Jude represents, it's known worldwide, the chance to have an event right here in Memphis in your backyard that would count towards your regular season schedule and maybe include big brands, you know, that's something that would benefit you down the line. So hopefully it all, you know, really comes together in the best of ways. And I see no reason why it shouldn't at this point. Penny's going to go out of his way to make sure it happens.
Well, and I get Cal wanting to have all of his guys back and all that. And I know he's sincere and all that. But, man, he went back into Rupp Arena 8 months after leaving for Arkansas.
And he had no choice, though.
He had no choice, but he went in there and he beat Kentucky. Like, if you can go and do that, Cal, like, you can go back to FedEx Forum 17 years later, no matter how many of your former players, you know, decide to show up that night.
The weird thing for Cal, I mean, it's one thing, though, going back to Kentucky, and if he had lost this year, right, there's, I mean, I don't know. We had talked about it before. You talk about embarrassment and everything else. But I have wondered about, you know, whether or not he'd be willing to lose to Memphis here when it counted. Because, again, you know, what you left for was a blue blood, obviously. You left Memphis for a blue blood. And no, you can't say that Arkansas has won, but you are in the best that there is in terms of basketball conferences, and you're still considered that. So I just wonder, Cobb, if he is willing to, when it is out on the line, and maybe not so much a neutral site, but here and there, you know, in the same way that Scott Drew is willing to do it, and the same way that Pat Kelsey is willing to do it, I do wonder if losing to Memphis is different than losing even to Kentucky, where, you know, where he shined and everything else. I just wonder if it's not, I don't want to say step down, but it is. Memphis is outside the power structure. And I wish that he would be moved to a point where he'd be willing to do this where it counts for real. I'm fine with this right now, because hopefully it's going to lead to bigger and better things for Memphis. You know, Cal sort of saying, hey, let's make it about St. Jude and the players. Let's be real. This is going to be a lot about him too. And he's fine with that. But I do wonder if he's ever going to give them the, you know, if he's ever going to give them, you know, what, frankly, what Mike Norvell has given Memphis football, a chance to play it, you know, with a coach that moves on. How about one for real? I'd love to see that as well.
I don't know
if he'd do it, though.
I think, honestly, my biggest fear with the St. Jude tip-off classic, like taking them, it's obviously, it's a arm for fundraising for St. Jude. And it's like, now it feels like every game is just going to be like, all right, who's going to pay the NIL? Like, who's going to pay the collectives? Who's going to, like, that's my biggest fear. And obviously there is an NIL component to this, but, like, it is also a fundraising opportunity for St. Jude.
Well, that's what St. Jude talked about. It's not going to be able to stay in the business of this because of what it's got to pay the teams to bring them in if it can't sell tickets and make this beneficial for everyone. And obviously the children down there come first. But yes, the other part of that, about that is the business aspect of this. I didn't feel like they sold enough tickets or had enough pop last year to be able to keep this thing going with any hope of, hey, man, you know, this is a, you know, we don't know the number of what they had to pay North Carolina, but it you know, significant enough that if you are not selling tickets, they can't afford to be taking losses. They're in the business of, as you said, Jeff, raising money, not in the business of losing money on business ventures or something it hopes to grow, whether it's for them, you know, to help with their own research, you know, in terms of a regular season event. Obviously, that's first and foremost, or in the hopes of helping Memphis as well. Like, you can't, you know, you can't get in that business of losing money. And there's certainly, now that's why, again, you're hoping it's the perfect storm, having Cal back, everything that entails, that you really haven't had this happen. He was back in FedEx Forum with his Kentucky team, but that was as part of an NCAA tournament. Wasn't against Memphis. This sort of reunion vibe you can have, hopefully it's the perfect storm that leads to, you know, a packed building. Again, probably more packed than you'll have anything, any time during the regular season.
All right, Cobb, interpret this for me. So we got a little bit of news from Pete Thamel. The NCAA men's and women's basketball committees have finished meeting this week and did not come to a decision or make a recommendation on tournament expansion. All options remain on the table and discussions are continuing.
Yeah, it sounds to me like they're just kicking the can down the road.
For another year?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, got to be, because if they had gotten it done this week, I think it could have gone into effect as early as 2026. But now, I mean, you're in a new academic year. I mean, the athletic year is about to start. I mean, it seems like an awfully quick amount of work if you meet again in a month and then decide to expand. Like, I don't know where you're at on this, Jason, but I mean, I personally have no interest in NCAA tournament expansion, and it sounds like the people who were in that room today, according to Pete Thamel, were not able to come to a resolution on whether or not to expand.
Well, there's just nobody other than the money folks asking for it. There's nobody other than the folks we know that will benefit, you know, whether it was the presidents or the big money folks at the NCAA. I mean, other than them, nobody's wanting this. I heard you guys reference the Doster poll, which I went and looked at after I heard you guys talking about it. There is no clamor for an expansion in the NCAA tournament. So it's a story I've continued to roll my eyes at when we've had to talk about it, and we've had to because this seemed to be getting closer and closer and inevitable. I'm cool with them kicking it down the road. I'd be fine with it if you'd left it alone for right now. I mean, let's wait until we want it. College football, we've continued to bring that up. We wanted more teams. You know, we were ready for that. This is just it feels like a money move. And then to the other point that you guys made, you're not opening up any new windows. You know, there aren't any new, you know.
I actually wondered if part of this was they started to get the preliminary, like Turner and ESPN or Turner and CBS were telling them how much they were willing to pay.
Great. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like this ain't great for us. Sort of realizations across the, you just wonder if that's a part of this. And so no, I, if that's what this is, a kicking of a can down the road, that I'm fine with that. Does feel like it's inevitable though, because again, as they've continued to, you know, lose any grip on certainly football, on that side, you're going to double down, you're going to triple down, quadruple down on the one thing that makes the money for you that they do control, which is this. And in the end, expansion of it represents a bigger dollar sign probably when it's all said and done. So I'm my point at some point we'll be there. We'll be talking about expansion. And again, you'll just get more of a more SEC. You'll have every team from the SEC in it, instead of all those guys that we say got snubbed.
Yeah, I can't wait for the – well, just playing an SEC schedule gets you in.
Exactly.
I mean, they're trying to do it in football. Like you don't have to win the game. You don't have to win the games, you just have to play the games. That's largely the SEC's argument.
That's it, brother. That's it.
All right, quickly before we let you go, is Simon Mahook going to actually show up?
I have no idea, because it's so layered in terms of everything you've got to do. I mean, Penny sounds confident, but this isn't one that you're expecting to get here, you know, before July is over. You expect this one to go up against, you know, these international ones. I mean, he could be here right before the season's starting, you know, a week or two, and you just hope that he's ready to go by that point. I got no idea what to expect here. I know, you know, this is something they've been working on for a while, and something that, you know, I know my man Jason Munns of Commercial Appeal had talked about this. When Penny was going to add, it said the overseas route. I mean, this is a route that they, you know, had looked at for a while, and hopefully, you know, they talked about studying the film. You just wonder, are they aware of how much work this is going to be, and is the plan firm on Majuk, on Magic's side, or is it firm to get over here? So I'm curious to see, because the body – looking at that film, looks like he could help you in terms of the AAC. And again, it you felt like you needed somebody, you know, behind Bradshaw, someone else with some size, somebody a little bigger than 6'8", could use a little depth there. So, and, you know, he's intriguing. Hopefully he gets here. I'm not holding my breath. And again, even with him here, you still want to see what it looks like right at this level to feel good about that front court depth. Other than that, you know, plenty of guards. We'll see what, you know, chemistry is probably going to be the biggest issue when you're replacing a new, you know, for the third straight season, it's basically a brand new team. We'll see how it all comes together, but I'm mildly, you know, I'm encouraged by what I've seen from, so far from the sort of Doug Sincere backcourt tandem they're selling us. And I think there's a chance that, that at least that part of it can go pretty well.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man. Thank you.
Got to take care.
That is Jason Smith, of course, of the Jason and John Show. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go with LeBron James. LeBron, last night, I guess maybe he's getting into the vino, he tweeted in Spanish that he's at the Los Angeles airport right now. And by I say he tweeted, he put it into Google Translate. Benito, I'm at the Los Angeles airport right now. I'm coming to see you. I heard about what you have planned for tomorrow night. Let's go. According to the internet, Benito is Bad Bunny. But LeBron just out there just tweeting in Spanish.
Wow.
What can he do? Man's just learning new languages, everything.
The king. The
Not
king.
LeBron, Elbron.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nicely done there. Want to thank Eric Hasseltine as well as Jason Smith for joining the program today. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for David, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.